Rob?
Well, good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's accomplished?
This is Trent.
Hey, Trent. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. Who else is on?
Not sure yet. I mean,
I'm here. I'm here. NK.
He's on. Solano.
Steven's here.
We got, so on our team so far, we have Sheila, who's going to help me with my scheduling and has gone through all the modules. We have Kay, who works with me on accounts, who I would be handing off some accounts to in this process. And we have Steve Swan, who's in another office, who's an financial advisor down in our Stewart office. I'm in Vero Beach, so we're about 45 minutes from each other.
And,
our branch manager is listening in because he's trying to understand what we're trying to do here. And John, who's another financial advisor, maybe helping. John Jennings is on here as well.
Wow.
We have someone that's ill who we would love to be on the call, so it's kind of made us a little behind the eight ball, but I think, we can kind of get started. I went through all the videos, and I don't know how you start, but obviously I went through and segmented as much as I can. I guess in the videos I realized I was looking at it, the old-fashioned ABC, and after going through it and reading the book, I realized handle all your clients like they're the best, and I agree with that.
Yeah, it makes life a lot more manageable in terms of simplifying. People have said to me, when I ask them, why do you like Supernova? And they simply say, because it's simple. Everything else I've done is very complicated, and I never could implement it properly. Supernova is simple, and I can do it because I know everybody gets 12-4-2. And then makes life better. Now, there's going to be situations, and where we have to discuss things. But the basic premise is one level of service. Keep it simple. Everybody gets a plan. Everybody gets 12-4-2, and everybody gets rapid response to their problems.
I mean, I would say that everybody would agree that's the level of service. The question I had was, explain the, 1 hour, 24-hour response to the problem, issue the problem. That I was a little concerned about. I just want to make sure I understand that. I think we do that now.
Right.
I would hope that we do. It's always been our goal. It's just good to kind of formalize it.
That's exactly right. And you do it now. 90% of your problems are 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. Mm-hmm. You don't get credit for it.
Right.
And what I found was that a lot of times, the reality is we give great service. A lot of times the clients don't know it.
Yeah.
And it's, what we're trying to do is bring the client in with the team. The client becomes the center of the team rather than the client being off to one side and occasionally getting brought in when we need them. The client is now the center of what we do. And so they're very aware of the service level of what's happening, and they're contacted when a problem is solved rather than just solving it and waiting for the statement to come or for them to call in. And we just change. We go from a reactive model to a proactive model, and it changes the client's perception of what we do. From a lot of our teams, it's not going to mean that much more work. It's just going to mean more inclusion of the client in the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. Robert?
Does that make sense? Yeah, go ahead.
On the one-hour response, I like the idea of proactivity, but that, to me, I need to understand it fully, because if Mr. Smith calls in for Mr. Jones, is the assistant saying to him, you know, we'll get back to you within 24 hours? Is that the rapid response, or is the rapid response that Smith calls Jones within an hour?
No, it's the reality is, you know, we used to always want to pick up the phone in three rings, right?
Yeah.
And that's what the one-hour response is. Look, we listen to you, we hear you, we're writing down the problem. Now we have 24 hours to solve it. Okay? So our one-hour response is, if we didn't, rarely will they ever leave a message, right? But if they did, we'd be back to them within 1 hour. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Or somebody on the team would, right? That's what you're saying.
That's right. Anybody on the team. And remember, a lot of what we do is team rather than just you.
Right.
So when we talk about 1242, we don't always have to have you on the phone 1242. We can have one of the calls be an administrative call when you're on vacation. You're going to take a couple of weeks and go to Ireland. You can have those calls be administrative calls for the month even. And that's fine. It's just we want somebody talking to you every month.
Right.
And that changes the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I guess in going through the videos, one thing I had a question on, and I've actually tried to approach people and do this on my own, so I haven't quite been able to pull it off, but, you know, I'll give you some of those responses in a little bit.
Sure.
Maybe you can help me position it, but the one thing, the last video I thought was the best, you know, worked from the back forward, I guess, but, you know, the stairs to the stars, I was like, you know.
Stair stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Stair stuff. I mean, basically you don't have to get rid of people, you're just upping their game, right? So we're not ditching people necessarily. You know, I guess that's, you know, it's so easy to say, just cut these people out. Well, we don't want to cut these people out. We want to hand them off to,
right.
You know, every game to an A game, right, and then hand them off to the right person or the right person's handling them. So can you talk about, you know, sort of that process? Because, I mean, I imagine every team, that's where they stumble the most.
Well, it's a matter of, you know, organizing either internally or externally a succession plan. Because from this point on, if you do Supernova right, you'll never have more than your max number of clients.
Right.
So that means that as you bring in 10, theoretically, if you brought in 10 great clients that all were in the top 20% of your practice, you'd reassign 10.
Right.
And that could go to teammates, or it could go to a person that was adjacent to your team that was, but here's the key. They need to be doing Supernova.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. So the internal training, that you guys should consider at this point is not just your team, but who will be the succession teams that will take clients then will be fully trained in Supernova, because once a person's experienced great service as an organization, you'd hate to have them experience something else.
Less, right.
Less.
And that's probably, right. That happens through evolution, right? That just takes time.
That takes time. And
yeah.
And that's where management can help, leadership can help in terms of, you know, I'm working with a team down and you know, with a couple of different management teams, and we literally have got almost, I would say, 50% of the office trained. And so it changes the dynamics of the office. The mentality of service for the whole office changes. And the depth of the training and just becomes a better place to work. Everybody's service-oriented then.
Yeah. you know, you that, I mean, you say that and everyone was like cringes because we all think we're service oriented, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's so funny, right? Yeah. I have a friend that just retired from the industry, and he was just telling me that since he retired, he hasn't received a phone call. And he's been retired for probably 6 months, and he's
wow.
And it's a you know, it's a $10 million plus account.
Yeah.
And he worked there.
Right.
Huh. And so it's he was just so disappointed.
Yeah.
Now he calls them and they're very helpful.
Yeah.
But they never right. call him.
Right.
And that to me is the whole, this is the whole issue of, you know, we're all, I mean, one of the things that we're all going to have to deal with, which I haven't heard much about, and he was talking about this, is this idea that you're not going to be able to deduct fees anymore.
Oh, yeah, I'm dealing with it right now. Yep.
And what are we going to do to convince people that we're worth it, you know, that what we do is has value beyond, you know, you start to take a 30-40% haircut on the, you know, on the price.
Fees just went up. Your fees just went up because of that.
If he went up 40%, so what are you going to do in order to offset that fee increase?
Right? No, I agree.
And you guys, I guess, can't deduct business expenses outside of what you take on pre-tax expenses.
Yeah, we didn't go into that. That's a hot topic. You know, we all struggle with that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just interesting how, you know, so, you know, let's, even if we don't think the game's changing, the game is changing.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a very good, it's a smart engagement on your part. Let me put it that way. I think your timing is excellent because I think you're going to, this is one of the, you know, along with other things, is one of the answers to this gnawing issue, and it will take probably a year till people fill out their taxes and realize what's going on before they start to make phone calls and say, you know, why am I doing this? You know,
we're trying to be proactive in that situation right now, so it's not easy because the regulations are in place, but the forms aren't out yet, which will be the final. Then their accountants will call and say, here's what the deal is, and you know, their taxes have gone up on their property. They can't deduct, and now we have this. So it's, you know, somebody that was getting $500,000 in income is now getting, you know, going to have a $70,000 worth of stuff that they used to be able to write off. They're not going to be able to write off. So that's
right.
That's going to be a challenge for us for sure.
Yeah.
In this business, yeah, I guess you can't constantly have to resell yourself. But that's why I like this process of having something scheduled so that you can quantify your value and your clients can quantify your value.
Okay, so the things that made, I think, make Supernova even more attractive are the agenda, which says, I'm listening to you. This is why people move their accounts, because they don't get called, one. Two, the clients don't think they're listening to them. So by having an agenda, by doing the planning process and then having an agenda to implement that plan and then have an ongoing agenda reminding them of things that they need to do, can say, we're hearing you and we know you and these are important things and we're going to help you get them done. So we're not just planning, but we're implementing the plan so you don't end up like Aretha Franklin or a Prince.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are big deals. The other thing that I would tell you is, you know, a lot of people, just an aside, I had this morning where a client was like, I'm fine, you know, I'm doing business with XYZ and I can do it myself and I'm in my question always to them, to the do-it-yourselfers, is that's fine for you, but what about Marcia? You know, what about Nedra? What about your spouse? If you were gone tomorrow, would she be as confident about doing business independently and do it yourself? And the answer is usually no. And so that's why we want to bring the spouses into these conversations for our twos. So the 12 for twos are, the 12s and the 4s are fine, but the two in person should always be with a spouse. Because we want to build that relationship so that both spouses are comfortable that you're the, you know, you're the go-to person in terms of helping them. And then the executive summary is the other part that, that people say, well, that's just a lot of work, but no, it what it does is it gets, compliance-wise, these are all really important things. But compliance-wise, when you have it documented that you called, that you had an agenda, and then you sent an acknowledgement of what you both have agreed to, and who's doing what by when, is wonderful, okay? It's clarity, and the clients love it. So that takes some stress, some structure on your part, some organization, but it will pay off big time in terms of clients going, wow, you've really thought of everything here, and you're taking care of everything. And that's generally a big change for teams. They don't usually do that. So think about that in terms of, you know, building the structure to be able to do that. It does, you pretty much have to get right off the call, make your notes, assign who's going to do what, and then send the executive summary. So you want to give yourself some time in between calls to prepare for the next one and also to write a summary of what you agreed to.
So you're recommending that in meetings, we have more than one person in the meeting so that it doesn't fall on just one person to...
That's up to you. I mean, one person, you know, we believe that one person should be the relationship manager and be in charge of that relationship, but that if it's, you know, if it's a situation where there's a lot to be done after estate planning or you've got, you know, quite a bit done from financial planning, then two people in the call can be very helpful. Yeah.
Can you tell me what the executive summary looks like? Do you have templates or something like that that you
share
with us at some point? Yeah.
Okay. Yes, and we'll get to those. But the idea is it's not, you know, it's a... Clearly, if you come off of a financial plan and you've got six things you've got to do, that's fine. But as time goes on, what you're going to have is on the agenda will be things that are permanent, like every June, the client needs to make a $25,000 donation to their university because they've committed and that's the end of the fiscal year. That would be on there. And then when it was done, you just simply say, you know, we transferred, you know, so many shares of Amazon, yeah, to take care of that. So it's no more complicated than that.
Robert, can we go backwards for 1 second?
Yep.
The level of service, the 12 to me is the one that I get stuck on because if I do the math, we each have time to make 25 contacts of that variety each week, which means we're kind of boxed in at 100 relationships if we do 25 a week, 4 weeks a month. Is that right? Or
that's affirmative. Yeah, the average person doing Supernova has 70 clients.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a different business. I mean, it isn't a mass marketing. You know, lots of accounts and doing a little bit of business with each one. It's pretty much, you know, full implementation, really getting in depth with fewer clients. And Therefore, you know, the first thing we do on week one is establish what does a client need to have in order to deserve, frankly, from our point of view, what that level of service. Okay? And so we establish our minimum and our maximum. So the maximum number of clients is determined by your desire, commitment to hours working. So I always tell people you can have more than 100 clients if you want to work nights and weekends. But most people don't. And so that becomes the limiting factor is your time. All right. So then we say, okay, if that's the maximum number of clients and our ideal number would be 70, what does our minimum have to be in order to make this work for us and for the clients? So the way we do that is you take your business and add, you know, just take your total gross and divide it by 100. And that should be your average production minimum. Okay. So then you take and look at your top 20% of your practice and you look at them and that's your ideal client. So that would be the ones that we try and duplicate or replicate. Because you wouldn't want to just bring in somebody that was average, you'd want to, or below average, you'd want to bring in somebody that looked like your top 20%. And theoretically,
let's talk about that. Let's say you're out marketing and somebody falls below that, and you have someone else in the group that you can feed them off to. Do you just, you know, set an appointment with them and then hand them to someone else? Say, hey, I'm, you know, be very straightforward with them and bring them in to sit with someone else? Is that, what are you doing?
You could. You could do it in a couple different ways.
That's what I'd like to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it in a couple different ways. One of them is you make it a team minimum.
Yeah.
Okay. And that team minimum would be, let's say, it's $1 million. All right. So we have two minimums. We have our absolute minimum, which would be like $1 million. And then we'd have our target minimum, which might be, you know, theoretically $2.5 million. Okay. So when we go out and we're searching for clients and actively prospecting, we're looking for clients in the $2 to $3 million range. And somebody says, well, I only have $1.5 million. You say, great, come on in.
Right.
Now, the rule of common sense trumps all other rules. So when somebody is a CEO of a company and he's going to get a major, he's retiring in 2 years and he says, I've got $750,000 now, but I'm going to have $28 million when I retire. You say, you know, come in.
You're in. Right.
You're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are easy, right? It's the ones that,
right.
So if I have $750,000 now, and I'll have $1 million in
right,
you know, or in 5 years, you know.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are harder, and you guys have got to kind of come to grips with that. Because
Robert.
Yeah.
Trent's question is a question within a question, because do we announce the client, you know, hey, we know you quote unquote only have $750,000 now, but we're going to accept you into our practice despite that, because, or I mean, how do we address that, or do we just not address it?
No, you never diminish a client. You always make the client feel good about themselves. Congratulations, you've done so well, it's amazing. You know, you've saved money, you've done everything right. So I never turn people down. What you do is you transition them to another team where their minimums would meet that. And they know that you're out there as their best friend helping them to find people, and you give them to another team whose minimums would match that, rather than saying no. So you always are saying yes, you're just not saying yes to your team. You can always say, look, our team specializes in helping this particular type of client, and this team specializes in helping clients that are exactly like you. And they're like, oh, great, thank you. You know, they'll thank you for that. So I tend to like teams that have got one minimum, because then when they bring somebody in, everybody's excited. Rather than diluting the practice by bringing in lots of small accounts, and then nobody's really excited when they tell, you know, in the weekly meeting, I brought in, you know, three accounts of 300,000, and everybody goes, yeah, okay, but, you know, it's nice, but that's not what we're here for. You know? So it's hard, especially if you have young people on the team and you want to encourage them. So you guys work that out, how that works with you best.
Yeah.
You ask me what's best practices, and I tell you what I think is the best practices, but you know your market, and you know your psychology of your team and everything else. So that's the first thing you've got to do, is do a diagnosis of your team, you know, of your assets, and then get back to me and tell me, okay, this is our absolute minimum, this is our target minimum, this is our maximum number of clients per financial advisor, and this is the target. You know, I'm going to go for 100, but my target is to get down to 70 in 6 months.
Okay. Minimum, target minimum, absolute minimum, target in 6 months.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Is there a target? No maximum? I'm just kidding.
One of the things that you'll see is that if you do this right and you bring in clients that look like your top 20%, then your target is constantly moving up.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some people on the phone so we talked about this morning, and you know, I think in our industry it's funny, we're all conditioned ABC client, right? ABC, ABC. And I agree with you. You deal with A's, and focus your time where you focus the best, and try and create a book of A clients. But then there are other people that are junior FA associates on the call that, you know, said to me this morning, like, hey, your A's, you know, your B and C would be my A. You know, I'm handling the A's. I mean, so everybody, I think you think, okay, team minimum, we're such a large team. I mean, there's 11 of us. We have some people that are fairly new to business. We've been, you know, helping build their business and giving them business and trying to help them get business through the door. You don't like the idea of different minimums within the group, though. But that kind of works within our dynamic. That's how I was thinking about this. You don't like different team minimums because it makes less of a team, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it makes less of a team. But look, you know, you've done very well. You have your own dynamics. You guys work it out. You know, you can have, you know, two level, maybe three levels of team of minimums, you know, and just say, look, you know, for the senior guys, our minimum is going to be $2.5 million with a $5 million target. Okay. And your minimum is going to be, so we literally can build within the team a stair step.
Gotcha.
And I think that would Yeah, I think that'd be very interesting, actually.
Yeah. No, that's helpful.
But I think they should know what their minimums are, though. I don't think that they, you can't be, you know, my minimums aren't flexible, you know, and
our minimums are getting harder to meet because the firms are, quite frankly, not paying you under a certain amount anymore. So it's, and then that number's moving up and up and up.
Right.
Because that's where all the you know, the firm listens, says, like, here's where we're getting sued. We're getting sued in this amount of dollars and below, and we're just going to make it harder to function in that space. So what they're doing is they're making it take more time to service it, make it more of a headache so that we don't bring them on. Right? Smart business model from the top looking down. So.
It's always the same. I mean, it's, you know, you've been around long enough, and I have too, that know that the 80-20 rule is alive and well in all facets. So you guys bring in, you know, you're part of the 20% that brings in 80% of the revenues, and you've got your clients that are, you know what clients are 20% that bring in 80% of your revenues. So spending more time with those clients is going to immediately get you more revenues. That's one of the bonuses. That'll be an immediate payoff. You think you're spending enough time with your best clients. We never do. Okay?
Right.
There's always a payoff. Now, the question becomes, you know, how do we get to that? I will tell you, you know, people say to me, how do I double my business? Well, you double your business, you can get about a 30% increase in your revenues by spending 80% of your time on those 20% of your clients. All right, so this is going to help a lot. You can get as much as a 30% increase off of just Supernova. Then the question, then how do we get to the next 70%? The key is to put in the systems that will be just as ritualized in servicing clients, in servicing prospects as we service clients. So we create rituals around the prospecting so that that becomes helpful. I will put a caveat in there. Where management is involved on these calls all the time, on every call, you can accelerate that growth prospect a lot. Okay, I would say it's 20% more efficient to have the management on the calls. And I'll tell you why. Because when we run into a problem, meaning you have a sales assistant problem, or you run into a problem with, you know, we have this good idea, and you say, well, you know, it'll never get through compliance, or this or that.
Yeah.
They can be there. And I've seen it. Where management said, you know, I'll take that ball and run with it. And they run with it, and we get something done where the FAs would have not even tried.
Uh-huh.
So that, I throw that out there because it's been a big, particularly with Morgan Stanley, with the management involvement, has made a huge difference to me as a coach. Different from any other firm I've ever coached.
Really?
Even when the other firm said they were going to have their management involved. They just weren't, quote, involved. They didn't step up. And the management at Morgan Stanley has stepped up and has been terrific and made a big difference. Because they can see the payoff. I mean, they see,
right.
You know, we're all on the same team here. You know, sometimes we feel like we're not, you know, but we are.
I talked to the top, like, five people at Morgan Stanley in Florida, and they're all using Supernova, basically. So, tells you a lot.
Well, that's great to hear. That's great. Thanks. So, what else today?
Well, how do you usually start on this? I mean, we've done our homework. I feel like we've done our homework.
Yep.
So, what are the steps?
All right. So each time you watch the videos, you do your homework, and then when we get on, my first thing out of my mouth is, what's on your mind? You know, how was the week? And then you tell me, you know, you should have a series of questions from the homework that are either hanging you up or are challenging. Okay, so my recommendation is meet for 15 minutes with the whole team prior to this call.
Okay.
And air out anything that people are stuck on, and then meet for 15 minutes after the call and assign tasks. Okay?
Okay.
So for example, this week, we're going to determine our min and our max, but I also want to know where the business has come from so I can be of help. Because I can help on niche marketing and teaching, you know, and things like that. But I need to know what your practice looks like, why it's unique, you know, where did the clients come from. So if you go through, when you're doing this, looking at the origination of where the clients came from, put together a list of what they have in common. You know, did they all work at the same company? Are they doctors? Where are they? You know, what niches have we mastered so far? And then we'll go try and identify, we call that your natural market, or your, if you came from, like here in Indianapolis, people came from UPS, their natural market was UPS clients, you know, and so that's easy. And then your target niches here in Indianapolis would have been like Eli Lilly, or in this case, one of the healthcare companies that that's located here. So those are easy. Sometimes, you know, when you get reassigned a lot of clients, that's not easy, you know.
Yeah.
And if you haven't really prospected for a while, then it's not easy. But
that's not a problem here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps me with the discussion. That's where my skill is.
From where I stand, I mean, I golf, and, you know, I golf at a kind of an exclusive club that's, I'm the only advisor in town that's been invited in, and mostly CEOs and CFOs that are there. I mean, it's people fly in to go to this golf course. I'm a member of that golf course, and I like to work with highly educated, smart, super smart, successful people in the world, and I just through that network have opened up some pretty incredible doors. Not the only place. I mean, I'm on the Boys and Girls Club board, and I just try and position myself in the places where the people with money are. It's kind of simple. I didn't move into the most expensive neighborhood, but I'm close enough to the expensive neighborhood where I can be around them all the time. That's really in just trying to attract clients through, you know, just conversation and spending time in those areas. And that has worked. And that's worked in a bull market. So I imagine if we have a bear market and I'm positioned in those places, it's going to be even that much better.
Right.
So that's sort of the niche. I mean, we have some CEOs. I have a few money managers that actually manage large funds, different places around the world. And we're in a small little kind of niche community that is, I think it's in the top 10 of the most CEOs per zip code in the country. I think 10028 in New York City is number one. And I think there's a few places, I think that we're in the top five of zip codes, I think, for CEOs and corporate executives. Just because it's a private airport, in and out only, for the most part.
Yes.
So I've had some success just placing myself in the right location, you know, saying the right things, just feeling very comfortable in that, you know, playing in the right traffic, so to speak.
Yes. Yes.
So that's where sort of the cream of the crop has come from. Then there's other things, then there's board work and other social things that I work on. So that's, I don't know, I'd like to have a little bit more of a, maybe I'm too humble about it, but that's how I focus, that's where I focus. But, we as a group have gotten most of the stuff from. We've got some pretty good attorney referral, estate planning referrals that have been spectacular. We work with one of the better estate planning groups in town that's kind of like to direct stuff our way, but in our world, I think that I like that message of, hey, we meet with people once a month. You know, what's your advisor do? I want to be able to say that, because I think if those groups that handle the high net worth, if the estate planning attorney hears you say that, it's like a board meeting. I mean, you don't run a business without meeting someone once a month. And I've had that conversation with some clients that love it. You know, the ones that ran big funds and the ones that ran big companies love that. They want that, actually. They really kind of like the idea. And some people, honestly, Rob, some people have said, oh, I don't, you know, some people I call whenever and interrupt, like, I have done that, not been perfect, that's why we're with you, but some people are like, oh, you know, we don't need that. We don't need to meet once a month. And really, they're big enough where I want to, you know, so, you know, so I talked to someone this morning. I said, hey, you know what, instead of us not talking, we haven't talked in 6 weeks and time going by, can we just set up a time where we just get on the phone once a month? Oh, no, that means I have to be struck. There's a lot of retirees here. I'm retired. I don't want to think that way. I don't want to do that. So I talked to Sheila, who's on the call, and I said, well, maybe I can just set them up anyway, and they don't know it, and still call them, you know, first Tuesday of the month. So I'd be interested to see, I'm trying to implement it on my own, not knowing how. What would you say to that sort of problem? Because they're not used to this, right?
I would say you're right.
Yeah.
I would say that you're right in the sense of you structure yourself, and then gradually it's an educational situation. The truth is that you've got, it's just like training you guys. You know, there's going to be some pushback initially, and this or that.
Yeah.
And I just maintain my persistence that I've seen that this is the best practice. So you may not believe it in the beginning, but over time, I'll probably convince you. The same thing is true with them. You want to, the best practice, that it's easier for them, it's easier for you. When you start sending them an agenda, of things that you want to cover, it's pretty easy to get an appointment.
Okay.
And you just say, just for this month, I'd like to set up an appointment because there's a number of different things we want to cover, and here's the agenda. They'll go, okay, you'll be fine. So you just do it for that month, and then the next month you just go, you know, just for this month, I'd like to set up another appointment because it's, and then gradually they'll understand. And what happens is they're used to a random phone call about a number of different issues, right? Well, you've got something on your mind, but they don't have anything on their mind. Or they call you and they have something on their mind. So it's one or two issues. This way, they'll be prepared and they'll have one or two issues and you'll have one or two issues. And so both of you come together and the efficiency of it is amazing, and they don't have to bother thinking about calling you anymore.
Yeah.
So everybody sees the advantage of it.
Rob?
But it takes a little while just to get used to it. Yes.
This is Kay. So for each of the 12 contacts, you're saying that there should be an agenda?
Yeah. Think of it as a board meeting. I mean, what Trent was saying is that he's used to, these guys as CEOs are used to board meetings. They have an agenda. It can be a brief agenda. It doesn't have to be a long one. But some clients that you just get financial planning for, probably going to be five or six things on the agenda. For other people, it might be two or three things. But it just makes everybody kind of stand up and go, oh, this is more serious than just a phone call. You know,
right.
This is, and then the executive summary is kind of like the minutes of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes much more, we like to think of it as more professional, more, you know, just a little bit. And people that are used to being organized like it.
Yeah.
Right.
Robert, to that end, one of the things that's a common problem is that we'll meet with a client and there will be some central aspect of their life I'll own this rather than saying anybody else's, that I will forget. For example, my home is worth $3.8 million and I owe $600,000 on it, something like that. Does your fact-finding process include a filing system where we can say, oh, yeah, this is where we find out their assets, this is where we find their liabilities?
Well, you guys, I mean,
yeah,
it's a good question. The reality is this becomes in your corner. How you want to do that is up to you. What I do and what I recommend is in the folder. So everybody has a folder, right? You have a folder for the client and the client has a folder for you. So in their folder, that they're looking at is all the information about you guys.
Uh-huh.
And in your folder is all the information about them. And my suggestion is you use your fact finder, you put into the fact finder right in the, you know, first or second pages, the information that you've gotten out of their financial plan, which is everything, right? All their assets and liability management, everything that they have. And that should be right in front of you every month. So you know, it's a hard copy. It can be updated and changed, you know, every year, every other year. But it's there. And you know, that's the game, is that Supernova says you need to have this, okay? So you can use, we'll give you one, but you probably have one that you use for your, customized for your planning, you know, that you submit for your plans.
So you'll give us a template that we can take the best of, and we'll take the best of what we have and make what we think. So everybody that you're dealing with has a working file. Okay.
And every page,
what's in a client file? I mean, that's interesting that they have a file.
It's really interesting because in there is going to be a place for the agenda in the back. And next to that would be a place for them to take notes. So that's two pages of the six that are taken up. The first page is you guys and your team brochure, location, phone numbers, easy. Then the rest is I like to have introductions given and received in there. And that's become more popular as we've developed the process, because if a client gives you an introduction, you want to remember that they did that. So you'd keep that. And then we've gone to a point of actually on the anniversary of their introduction, we give them a call and thank them for the introduction, which tends to make them want to give more introductions. So that each page has got its own little story behind it as to why it's there and how it can work on your behalf for both sides. So it has a magic to it that I think can be very helpful. On the second page, for example, you may want to include a topic. We have what we call our 24-month calendar. And this keeps us organized in terms of sharing with the client's ideas. And it also, we call it batch processing, so that we don't have to have, you know, talk to one client about mortgages, another about long-term care, and the next one about, insurance products. We batch process into a 24-month calendar, giving 2 months for each topic, each new topic. So over a 24-month period, we'll include 8 new topics. The rest will be calendar-driven, required minimum distributions, etc. So the topic might be mortgages or better managing the liability side of the balance sheet, and you give them a summary of where interest rates are, the best ways to borrow. And this can be incredibly helpful for them because most people with money want access to capital and, you know, to lend to their children for mortgages or whatever they're doing. And so that would be where you put the information about this month's topic. So I'll show you how we prepare for each month, that you'll have one of your teammates do the training to prepare the team for each month, and then how you send out to them information about that with the agenda so that they can be prepared.
Okay.
So it's kind of like we used to do, you know, in the old days, we'd do a new issue offering or something. We call all the clients. It's kind of like that, except it's not. It's maybe about mortgages rather than a new issue. But it gets to all the topics. It gets to everything that the client needs to know and that we oftentimes don't bother bringing up because we don't think they're interested. but in fact their children might be interested, or they have a friend that's interested.
Oh, that's a question I was going to ask you. So I read about butlers, right?
Yeah.
You know, say a client, a very large client, you obviously want to be involved in their kids, and I'm involved with their kids.
Right.
So with them, you're saying, hey, mom, and I'm having the 12 meetings.
Right.
Let me help your son and daughter, engage them, whether or not they have an account with you, engage them and try and help them and educate them, I guess, and try to have at least 4 meetings with them a year as well, right? So they remain your client.
Right. You have 4-1. So you have 3, you know, 4 contacts, one of them in person. And that's different than what the average financial advisor does. He talks only to the parents, and he never really engages the children. The parents pass away, and he wonders why the accounts don't stay. And here's a way we determine whether or not someone should be a butler. And we would expect that you have an account with them, too. I mean, that you wouldn't do this if they didn't have an account with you.
Okay, all right.
So we just do the math. And we say a $10 million client that has 2 children, clearly they would meet your minimums, no question. You know, a guy has $2 million, he's got 10 children, probably not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Right. Not enough butler in the day.
So it just becomes a common sense thing, you know.
That money's going for
houses and things. It's not going to go to, they're not going to keep it. But with the kids with $5 million each, you want to have, you know, they have got accounts of $500,000 each. You definitely treat them, you know, until they meet your minimums, you do 4-1, because that's still enough. That's more than most people are giving.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I saw on your video that what can happen between 3 months, if you wait for 3 months. So, I agree. I guess, you know, it's just kind of an intro for a lot of us, and a lot of us are going to go watch the videos probably, you know, again. But you see things, I mean, you've done this a long time. So you see things that work. I mean, obviously you want to talk about everything that works and the success stories. What are the roadblocks?
The things that, what happens, people take too long to get to, here's the way you can use supernova to the max in this coaching.
Yeah.
Stay with the program.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get behind. I mean, you can be a little behind, but don't get way behind. I was just working with a team that, you know, I'm in the third week, and all I got was excuses as to why they couldn't call their clients to introduce Supernova, okay? I mean, there was nothing real about anything that they said. They were all just dragging their feet. And it wasn't because they weren't convinced that it was a good idea. They just got distracted, busy doing other things. And, you know, this is a time to work, okay? We all know how to work. We all have worked hard in our life.
Right.
This is the time to really work hard, not just, this is not routine.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to do some work here.
When will we start, what week do we start reaching out to clients? There is Supernova. After next week, or?
Yes.
Okay.
You can look in the workbook, you'll see the scripts, you can practice the scripts, you can start reaching out right now. I mean,
I don't think I got it. Get the workbook, Sheila. Sheila.
Yeah, we didn't get the workbook.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll email Cindy, figure out what's happening there.
Yeah, everybody should have their own workbook, and you can watch the videos as many times as you want. And Sheila, reach out to Cindy to get the scheduler right away.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people wait 3 weeks to get it, and it's ridiculous. We should give it to you right away.
Mm-hmm. That's
probably
my fault, honestly, Rob, because I moved this meeting around 4 times, so she was very gracious. So
that
was all
okay.
On me. Yeah.
No, that's okay. That's okay. The scheduler is a big deal in terms of helping you because it automatically populates and then cooperates with Outlook. So you guys can, you don't have to worry about having everybody show up on the same day. It equally right. distributes your clients throughout the scheduler. So it makes it 12-4-2 easy to do and understand. But it takes a, you just have to pay attention.
Robert, can you give us a couple of I told you so's? I'll go ahead and kind of bare my soul a little bit. Because what I'm thinking is you're gonna have an I told you so about this. There's a part of me that says, I've done this for a long time and I've got some clients that only have a couple hundred thousand dollars and I don't have anybody to hand them down to because, I can think of a million excuses not to get rid of them, but I'm kind of thinking, what are your big I told you so's where you look back in a month and you say, Stephen, I've told you so. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. What are the I told you so's that you can stop us from having to hear 6 months from now?
It's that. Hiding them in the rafters, hiding them in the closet, hiding them under the floorboards. They don't really count. They're not any trouble. They pay me a fee, and I'm going to keep them. And nobody knows about it, but I'm keeping them. And then you say to me, but Rob, I have no time. This is killing me. I have no time. And what you realize is those people, they do call, or they call your assistant. And the idea is this isn't just for you. This is for your team. And so when somebody doesn't bother you, that's fine, but they bother your team, and that takes away their time and control. Remember, you're doing right now, you're shifting the game from you being in control to your team being in control, your staff. They are in control of your calendar and your life and everybody involved in that. And so for you to have credibility, you really have to help them by saying, there's a little more work involved in this, but we're going to have fewer clients. And if you say there's a little more work involved, but we're not going to have fewer clients, then they're going to go, this isn't so much fun,
I think we have to hire somebody. Maybe we just have to hire we have enough business where we could give them to some other junior associate and help them. So I think it's,
The good news is, Trent, you've created high standards. The bad news is you've created high standards, so the next people we hire are going to have to meet your standards. That's tough. I mean, it's good and it's bad.
It's all good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think we have high standards as a group anyway, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I couldn't get there. I was trying to get there with these clients on my own. I was thinking, when I talk to Rob, I'll just do my clients and I'll let everybody listen in. Now I'm coming to this one there's some aha moments, but we're going to go through the process. So,
yeah, the whole team should have the same. It should be the same model for everybody. Everybody doing 12-4-2. Everybody with less than 100 clients. Everybody with standards. And you can have a stair step standard, but they shouldn't violate these standards. And so it becomes. You're very proud of what everybody's doing. You look at anybody on the team, and every single client that you're working with is getting 12-4-2. It's a proud moment,
Right.
And it's a differentiating moment. For the staff, the game changes. Everything becomes proactive. No more phone calls. Virtually, there'll be no more phone calls coming in. There'll be only phone calls going out. And so when you take away 50% of the phone calls, you save 50% of the time. No more phone tag.
Yeah.
No more phone tag. What time does that save? No more interruptions. No more. It's amazing. And that's the payoff. But you kind of have to go all in order for that to work. You can't be sort of in.
Yeah.
And that would be what I'd say is that the teams that are sort of in are the ones that don't get the payoff and then don't stick with it. And so they sort of do Supernova for the top 20% and then that's enough. And what happens is your brand doesn't get the benefit then. because your brand is like Mercedes. You know, when you take your Mercedes in, I don't care if you got the smallest Mercedes, the oldest Mercedes, they treat you like you've got a AMG, you know, that you've got
right.
the greatest car in the world. So that's what you want that to happen when anybody enters your team, is that they feel that it's like they own a Mercedes. And they
one thing Rob said to me, yeah, I agree with that. One thing Rob said to me in the last call, and it's haunting, and I have a pit in my stomach still, is like you're only as good as your weakest client that you're not calling. And that's true. I mean, it just takes that one person that's the secretary of somebody saying, well, I never hear from him. You don't want that out
right.
there in the world, you know. So, and then they say it to their boss at the 401k company or something like that before you know it.
Right.
You don't want people out there in the world that grumble about you.
No, that's
so.
Right.
Well, thank
I think
you.
We're bumping into our next call, so thanks, guys.
Okay.
I will,
thank you.
I'll talk to you. Thank you.
Very
bye-bye.
Cool. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hello? Hello? Hello?